This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled Adam and Eve, A Fresh Look at Our Beginnings. Presents a simplified exploration of the historical, scientific, and theological questions surrounding humanity's origin, including the distinction between biological Homo sapiens and the covenantal image bearers first introduced in Genesis. This version walks through my covenantal image bearing model in an accessible format, helping listeners understand how Adam and Eve fit into the story of God's creation, the fall, and his redemptive plan. Please note, for smoother listening, some elements such as headings, the appendix, and the full bibliography have been left out. To access those resources, I encourage you to read the full written version at defendtheword.com. A companion academic paper is also available for those who want to explore the subject in greater depth. D. Gene Williams Jr., PhD, Defend the Word Ministries, North Point Church Introduction: Who Were Adam and Eve and Why Do They Matter Today? For Christians, their story in Genesis isn't just an ancient tale, it's the opening chapter of God's plan for humanity, a plan that leads to Jesus Christ, the second Adam. As a teacher and lay scholar, I've wrestled with how to understand Adam and Eve in a world where science raises big questions about human origins. I love the Bible and take it seriously, and I respect the traditional views of many believers, like those who see creation happening just 6,000 years ago. But I also believe God speaks through both scripture and nature, as Psalm 19 teaches. The heavens declare his glory, and his word reveals his truth. When science and faith seem to clash, I don't think we should pick a side. Instead, we should listen carefully, as Galileo did centuries ago, trusting that God's truth in nature and scripture will align. This paper explores Adam and Eve's story, offering a fresh perspective called the covenantal image-bearing model. Places Adam and Eve around 100,000 years ago, not as the only humans, but as the first to bear God's image in a special covenant with him. It also highlights a fascinating moment around 5,500-6,000 BC, when a massive flood reshaped history and scripture seems to point to it. I'm not here to throw out old ways of thinking, they're rooted in love for God's word. But as God reveals new truths through science, we must measure them carefully, ensuring our faith stays strong and our minds open. Let's dive into this story together, seeing how Adam and Eve connect us to Christ and how faith and science can walk hand in hand. Why Adam and Eve matter. Adam and Eve aren't just names in Genesis, they're the start of God's story with us. The Bible says they were created in God's image, meaning they had a unique ability to know God, make moral choices, and care for his creation. Their disobedience, called the fall, brought sin into the world, affecting all of us. But God didn't leave us there. Jesus, the second Adam, came to undo that curse through his life, death, and resurrection. This connection, Adam's fall and Christ's redemption, is the heart of the gospel. Some folks today wonder if Adam and Eve are outdated, especially with science suggesting humans have been around for hundreds of thousands of years. But dismissing them risks unraveling the Bible's story. If there's no real fall, why do we need a savior? As a Christian, I believe we must hold fast to four truths: a historical fall, the image of God in humanity, the reality of sin, and Christ's redemption. How we understand Adam and Eve's details can vary, but these truths keep us anchored in faith. Covenantal image-bearing model. So, how do we make sense of Adam and Eve in light of science? My covenantal image-bearing model offers a way forward. It suggests God chose or created Adam and Eve around 100,000 years ago in the Persian Gulf, a lush valley during the Ice Age. They weren't the first humans. Other groups, like Neanderthals and early Homo sapiens, existed as far back as 300,000 years ago. But Adam and Eve were the first to receive God's image, a spiritual gift of knowing him, making moral choices, and living in covenant with him. This happened when humans started showing signs of deeper thought, like burying their dead with care or creating art, around 100,000 years ago in places like Kafsa Cave. Importantly, this model does not depend on evolution being true or false, it simply recognizes that God acted at a real point in history to begin a spiritual covenant with humanity. Their descendants spread this image of God through families and interbreeding with other human groups, a process that took tens of thousands of years. By Jesus' time, everyone was connected to Adam and Eve's lineage, carrying both God's image and the effects of their sin. This model doesn't depend on exact scientific dates. If new discoveries shift the timeline, the theology stays solid. It's rooted in scripture's story, not science's changing guesses, but it listens to science to enrich our understanding, just as Psalm 19 encourages. A divine reset. The flood of 5,500-6,000 BC. One of the most intriguing parts of this story is a moment around 5,500-6,000 BC, when history and scripture seem to converge. Genesis describes a great flood that wiped out much of humanity, sparing Noah's family. I believe this was a real regional event, the Black Sea Deluge, when the Mediterranean flooded the Black Sea around 5,600 BC, disrupting communities and leaving traces in ancient stories like Gilgamesh and Chinese flood myths. This flood wasn't global but massive for Noah's world, a divine judgment that preserved God's covenant through his family. What's fascinating is how Genesis lifespans point to this moment. Before the flood, patriarchs like Methuselah lived 969 years, Adam 930, numbers too big to be literal, with a 99.4% improbability of certain age endings, 0135 79, suggesting they're symbolic. I go through this in detail in my paper Genesis, Hyperbole and History. After the flood, lifespans drop. Shem to 600 years, Abraham to 175, Moses to 120, matching what we know about ancient life. I believe God inspired these exaggerated pre-flood ages to highlight the flood as a reset, a turning point from prehistory to history, when cities like Eridu arose around 5,400 BC. Early Christians sensed this too. Scholars like Julius Africanus and Theophilus of Antioch dated creation to 5500 BC, Eusebius to 5200 BC, and James Usher to 4004 BC, all landing in a 4000-6000 BC window. They didn't know about the Black Sea flood, but their timelines, guided by scripture, fascinatingly align with it. It's as if God wove this moment into the Bible's numbers, pointing to a real event when humanity's story shifted. Why this model works: a defense some Christians, especially young earth creationists, believe Adam and Eve were created from scratch about 6000 years ago as the only humans alive. I respect their deep love for scripture and understand the appeal of a simple, direct timeline. Many also believe a vapor canopy once surrounded the earth, protecting early humans from harmful rays and allowing them to live for hundreds of years until the flood collapsed it. But this idea doesn't hold up scientifically. A canopy thick enough to provide that much water would superheat the planet to temperatures between 122 degrees Fahrenheit and 212 degrees Fahrenheit, making life impossible. And biology still sets a hard limit. Humans rarely live past 120 years, even under ideal conditions. More importantly, YEC models require rejecting solid evidence for human fossils going back 300,000 years and the Earth's age of 4.5 billion years, creating unnecessary conflict between faith and science. I believe this approach, though heartfelt, doesn't fully honor Psalm 19's call to let nature speak. Tell science what to say instead of listening, much like when early Christians insisted the Earth had four corners or rested on pillars. Galileo showed us another way. When his telescope confirmed the sun-centered solar system, he argued that scripture and nature cannot truly contradict because both are authored by God. If they appear to, it's our interpretation that may need adjusting. His view came at a cost. Galileo was condemned in 1633 and was placed under house arrest by the Roman Catholic Church after being found vehemently suspect of heresy for advocating heliocentrism, the view that the Earth orbits the sun. The Inquisition ordered Galileo to recant his support for the Copernican model authored by Nicolaus Copernicus in 1543. He complied to avoid harsher punishment. Can you believe it took over two centuries before the church fully accepted heliocentrism, removing the ban in 1822 and formally acknowledging the error in 1992? But eventually, theology adjusted in light of clear evidence. It has happened before, and it can happen again. My model offers a better path. Fit science placing Adam at 100,000 BC aligns with human fossils and behaviors like art and burials, showing God's image emerging when humans were ready. The 5600 BC flood matches real events, and normal lifespans post-flood fit ancient records. It honors God's justice as 6,000-year-old Adam leaves 294,000 years of human history without God's covenant, which feels morally troubling. My model places Adam and Eve around 100,000 years ago, yes, still long after the appearance of Homo sapiens, but right at the emergence of behavioral and spiritual capacity. God didn't wait arbitrarily. He acted at the first visible sign of readiness, when humans could walk with him in moral and spiritual relationship. That timing reflects wisdom, not neglect. Stays true to scripture. The Bible's symbolic ages and poetic language, like all the earth for the flood, point to theological truths, not literal history. My model keeps the fall, God's image, sin, and Christ's redemption central, respecting scripture's heart. Speaks to everyone, whether you love science or cling to tradition. This model bridges both, showing how God's story unfolds through history and faith. Conclusion: I'm not trying to overturn old beliefs, they're precious to many. But as God reveals truths through digs and telescopes, we must weigh them carefully, ensuring our faith grows stronger, not weaker. Adam and Eve are more than a story, they're the start of God's love for us, a love that leads to Jesus. Covenantal image-bearing model invites us to see them as real people, 100,000 years ago who were tasked to carry God's image, whose legacy shapes us all. The flood around 5600 BC, marked by scripture's numbers and history's traces, reminds us God judges sin but always saves a remnant. This isn't about throwing out tradition or chasing new ideas. It's about listening to God's voice in both his word and his world, as Psalm 19 urges, and trusting him to guide us. Let's hold fast to the gospel. We're made in God's image, fallen yet loved and redeemed by Christ. Whether you lean toward a young earth or an ancient one, let's walk together in love, exploring God's truth with open hearts. From Eden to the cross and on to the new creation, Adam and Eve's story calls us to be faithful image bearers of our Savior. Want to learn more? If you're interested in going deeper, I encourage you to read the full versions of this study, Adam and Eve in Christian Orthodoxy and also Genesis, Hyperbole and History. There, I dive into church history, Hebrew grammar, science, and biblical theology, all while holding to what matters most, the truth of God's word and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we can be confident, curious, and charitable. We can hold tightly to the essentials and walk humbly where mystery remains. Like Augustine said, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, charity, in all things, love.